Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
It is exciting, actually. House meeting is It is actually, guys.
We've read your comments, but actually exciting.
It is actually, guys. So take that look off your face and get this feeling into your ears. Hit it! Is that enough of it? No, we need to talk a bit more.
No, we did say a little bit more than that.
It's a shame, because that was seamless, wasn't it? That was good.
Yeah.
Let's try and remember that vibe when we finish this intro, and we'll try and replicate it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Let's do that. All that needs to be said, really. Do you know what, actually? I'm always going to say is mention the Patreon and all that kind of stuff, but I feel like now after you've had that hit it, it's hard to go back now.
Yeah.
So do you want to just ramp up again?
Well, get on the Patreon, guys. Take that look off your face. Get this feeling into your ears. Hit it!
Yeah, it's good, man.
Even better second time round.
Yeah, it worked. It worked even better.
It's really nice.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, because I've definitely watched it before, but the internet's such a funny thing in that...
Oh, yeah, you've watched the internet before, yeah. We know.
Yeah, I told you about that before.
You have, yeah. You're really getting into it these days, aren't you?
It's hard to get out of it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. In many ways, like Sandra Bullock, you're trapped in the net.
Mm. We're recording 15 minutes after we were supposed to start. We just pushed the time back 15 minutes. And so I was ready to go 15 minutes ago. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll do 15 minutes of work. But then the internet was like, why don't you watch tributes to Chris Farley, the comedian who died Saturday Night Live 20 years ago, or whatever. And you like go...
You know what? Yeah, I will.
What's happening now? Because it's early in the morning. why have I spent 15 minutes on that? Why now am I thinking about that?
Yeah.
It's the most random mate. But anyway.
But those Matt Foley videos are really funny when he falls through the table and stuff, and he's the life coach. So it's well worth revisiting his stuff.
No, but the thing I wanted to ask you guys about is, the thing that I watched for 6 minutes is Adam Sandler wrote a song. And this was a bit later on, but he wrote a song about Chris Farley as a tribute.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at the end of his Netflix special. It's brilliant.
There you go. That's the one I watched. But yeah. Now, it's 6 minutes long, mm-hmm. and 2 minutes of that is a guitar solo.
Yeah. But he's talking.
He comes off mic, and then he goes full E shreds. And it made me laugh so much, because it's like, okay, I'm going to tell you all about my cool friend, but... Hey, what? Look how good I can play the guitar. It's like, fill the 6 minutes.
I think he is filling. No. I'm a big Sandler apologist, but
we know it.
He does fill the 6 minutes, and I think it right.
Wait a second, though.
Okay. Yeah. Go on.
If you were like doing someone's eulogy at the funeral and you got up and halfway through did a guitar solo and be like, no, that was for him though. that guitar solo was for him.
That's my new request. I want Clarkie to just shred at my like to come up and say, right, okay, I've written a song about Tom, and for it to be an instrumental. You just absolutely shred. And then spotlight on the back, Crosby's on drums. you guys just jam for 20 mins.
Let me say a couple of things.
Please.
Firstly, Clarkie, you touch on a very interesting topic. A tribute. Who is it actually for? Because the person is dead, right? Chris Farley doesn't come out, you know, and go, nice one, Sandler. You know, nice one, Sandman, which is what they all call him. It's for the people who are alive, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And secondly, say, for example, you are up in heaven, right? Yes, go on.
The last lines of the song are, if we make enough noise, maybe you'll hear us now.
Yeah.
So Sandler's thinking it's... He's sending it up.
I'll address this in my second point.
Maybe that's why he's playing the guitar so loud.
This is what I'm talking about. If you were up in heaven, right, and you were looking down and you were watching a eulogy, your favourite bit would be the guitar solo. If anything, it's the bit that's the least... Like, if someone has to say nice things about you, that's always can be a little bit cringy, a little bit embarrassing. If somebody's shredding on the guitar, that's pure pleasure, right?
But, I'll say this about Elton. When he rewrote Candle in the Wind, he didn't do the whole standing on the piano stool hammering it out for five in the middle.
Yeah, but crucially, he did play it at her funeral. This is not footage from Chris Farley's funeral. This is footage from an arena show that Adam Sandler played, and it's the final moment of an arena show. I think in an arena, you're allowed to do a guitar solo. In a funeral, it's a little bit, you've got to tread a little bit more carefully, musically speaking.
If I'm looking down from heaven and I'm closing your arena show, I'd be thinking, bloody hell, Crosby's a bit light this year. Write a final bit, mate. Find your own crescendo. Don't be leaning on me. I'm 25 years gone or something.
Have you watched the rest of the special? Or have you just watched the ending? Because I refute that. He's not light on material. It is it's a phenomenal special. You know what? It's such a good special that lots of people was going, can you believe it's a good... Like, because, you know, obviously he doesn't have the greatest reputation in comedy. Lots of people think he's not especially good. And I'm not one of those people.
Oh, we know it.
But the show converted a lot of naysayers, and not just because it came out just before lockdown. And a lot of people watched it in lockdown. They had nothing else to do. I think it's brilliant, but also as well, Chris Farley is a huge legend. No offense, Tom, but if I were to do a tribute to someone who I'm gonna say, like, even at one of my gigs,
sing the Chris Farley song at my funeral. What a way to go.
Oh my God.
I'm talking about my boy, Chris Farley. My family like, who?
Chris Farley. One of his mates from university. Oh God. Crosby's blacked on Parry's name.
Does that we all thought that'd be Clarkie. More.
Ben Clarkie, talking about my friend Ben Clarkie.
He's right here.
Thanks for the tribute. Do you think
tribute each other?
He's hardly moved.
It's not spoken in ages.
It just did make me laugh. I'm not having a go at Adam Sandler's.
No, of course,
or special. But it's just. I like the idea of like juggling Jared in the middle of the eulogy. It just made me laugh. Did make me laugh.
Here's the thing, though. You went to quite an evangelical church. Was there like a rock band or like a kind of electric band at your church when you were?
Oh, yeah.
There are lots of different ways to worship. That's what they always used to say whenever we were plugging in. They always used to say, you know, plenty of different ways to worship. And singing, obviously singing words about Jesus and about what a wonderful guy he was.
Another dead guy.
another dead guy that we miss every day. But also there was, you know, like letting your faith flow through your instrument, you know, your guitar, your drums, whatever you happen to be playing. That's a big part of it. And so there are plenty of different ways to pay tribute to a person.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate.
I think shredding is the number one thing you can do. I can't wait to be, as the coffin is lowered, to stand on your coffin, giving it the proper full on Steve Vai, Yngwie Malmsteen, like. You know.
Wait! Don't start the fire.
I'm going down with the ship. There's okay. Yeah. His master's grave. I'd be there shredding away as I'm burnt like Joan of Arc. I'd love it.
Now, his master's grave, right?
Oh yes.
That's what HMV stands for.
No, that's that's it. Like that's his master's voice.
Right. Is that the same as Greyfriars Bobby? Is it the same dog?
Oh, it's a good question. I don't know.
No, different breed, isn't it? It's a Scotty Greyfriars Bobby.
And what was his master's grave?
Isn't it a Jack Russell?
I thought that's his master's voice.
Oh, his master's voice. Sorry,
yeah, Clark, we've just established they're two different things. Yeah,
his master's voice.
Greyfriars Bobby.
Bobby.
Nobody thinks his master's voice is Greyfriars Bobby, Clarky, so thank you for clearing it up.
What are you saying? Two different dogs.
I did ask that question.
House meeting.
Can I get this pizza delivered to Nanita?
House meeting.
His master's grave isn't a dog, is it? That's the outlier. There's Greyfriars Bobby, who did a his master's grave.
Right.
Then there's his master's voice, who made it onto all the t-shirts. But what was his story? That he just listened to his master's voice through a record player?
Yeah, I think so.
He's done well for himself.
He's living high on the hog, I tell you what.
If I'm his brother, I'm gutted. Do you know what I mean?
I would say even the master has been lost to the mists of history. Who's the master? We know about his. We know about the guy listening to his voice. He's managed to. How has he become the sort of poster boy for this? We don't know any of the other people.
I'm going to take a punt on it being. No, come on, dig deep.
Go on, Barbara Woodhouse.
Alexander Graham Bell.
The guy who invented the telephone.
What?
okay, that's who he invented. Okay. Did he invent the gramophone on the way, though?
I don't think so.
on the way into work to do the telephone. He had a hell of a day.
Well, it does feel like it's kind of halfway there, doesn't it? It feels like you stick a wire on a record player and suddenly and stick a dog at the end.
In many ways, he invented the answering machine.
Yeah, okay.
Whoever invented the gramophone, but you'd have to then deliver the whatever it was, the vinyl to the person. But yeah, I don't know who invented the gramophone.
Dog Logie Baird? Is there something in that? John Doe? No, anyway.
He invented the television.
Right, well, we're close, aren't we?
Well, let's face it, the gramophone the gramophone is a sort of combination of telephone and television, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they couldn't call it the teletelephone. Let's call it the gramophone.
It feels like does it feel like that kind of sense of those great names have been lost a bit?
Well, they certainly have to us. In that we can't remember any of them.
Those unforgettable names. Like, no one's going to go...
You don't think people are going to go Tim Berners-Lee?
I think he struggles, Tim Berners-Lee. When he did the Olympics, no one knew who the fuck he was, did they?
What is happening?
Wait, no.
Yeah.
Wait, no one knew who he was? Okay, fair enough. So
Tim Berners-Lee, I think, struggles. I think everyone's going to go Steve. I think in 100 years' time, people will think Steve Jobs invented the internet and the computer and Happy Days. And I think in some ways... John Logie Baird probably might
did you
be.
Say-
you're like, that's what I'm thinking is, John Logie Baird's probably the Steve Jobs of his day. Everyone's sniffing around.
Can I just ask Clarky a question? Please. Did you hear Happy Days
Happy
there
Days,
as well?
I did hear Happy Days. But yeah. I think, is it because there's a record playing at the start?
Is that what it is?
Goodbye,
is
Chris why do you hello blue.
Why do you think Steve Jobs invented Happy Days? I thought that was Gary Marshall, wasn't it?
What did I say? Everyone's going to think Steve Jobs invented
the computer and the internet and Happy Days.
And yeah, that's it. Like that's drawing a line under that. They'll be like,
no, it isn't. It's not. It's actually it's saying the same thing again.
The door.
There you go. So it's like,
why do you think Steve Jobs? Sorry. And you're using the expression, right? Yeah.
He invented the internet and the computer. Happy Days. Off we go.
Right. Okay. Right. That's, but you did. You must understand the saying. He invented the computer and the internet and Happy Days.
Imagine if that was your trifecta. You've nailed it.
I'll say this: Ron Howard did direct Backdraft. You can't take that away from him.
He invented fire, is that what you're saying? Like early man.
Like, that's a leap you wouldn't make from Happy Days, would you?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
There's something in it. Anyway, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think in 200 years' time or whatever, Jobs will be there. Well, not if AI has its way. No, but people will talk about, they'll be like, okay, the great inventor of our time was Steve Jobs. And I imagine if you go back to those days, there's like Alexander Graham Bell.
Yeah.
Robert Louis Stevenson, John Logie Baird. They all had three names, didn't they, back in the day?
Wasn't Robert Louis Stevenson an author?
Didn't he invent the train?
The book.
Didn't he invent Stevenson's rocket?
This must be driving people insane. Who wrote Treasure Island then? Who wrote Treasure Island?
Did he do that as well?
That's Robert Louis Stevenson.
So he wrote Treasure Island and invented the train?
I don't think Robert Louis Stevenson invented the train. I'm sorry, mate. I think he just wrote books.
Okay. So what, and they named Stevenson's rocket after him?
I don't know anything about the connection to Stevenson's rocket, I'm afraid. Unless that was one of his books. Do you want me to look up Stevenson's rocket? Let me have a look.
I don't think we can get into looking up territory, because otherwise we'll go down a wormhole and we'll be looking up, you know, John Candy.
The other great... He invented sweets, right?
Do you know what? You are... You're almost right in the...
Good night.
Play us out.
It was Robert Stevenson who invented Stevenson's rocket. Robert Louis Stevenson, I believe, is the author of Treasure Island and a variety of other books. I think he wrote Jekyll and Hyde as well. I don't even think Robert Stevenson's making it onto the list. What about I.K. Brunel?
Okay.
Yeah. My God, I'm sweating.
Okay.
Okay, that's a name.
Okay.
That's a name to conjure with.
But did Brunel invent... I thought he built bridges.
Well, he wasn't an inventor. He was a builder, wasn't he? Yeah.
He's not getting on the list.
No, he didn't invent...
But what did Steve Jobs invent?
Did he invent the suspension bridge, Brunel? He certainly built some.
Steve Jobs will go down as
the man who invented Happy Days, yeah.
The inventor of...
He was the one who said, I think the Fonz should wear a leather jacket, not a denim jacket, and he should say A instead of U. He came in there, he troubleshot the project.
I tell you what's mad about Happy Days, right?
Yeah.
Was it made like in the 70s?
Yes.
About the 50s?
Yes.
And like, if you look at those two eras, they're so like drastic, they seem so drastically different.
Yeah.
That's like the equivalent of someone making a series now about the noughties.
Yeah.
It's like Dairy Girls, isn't it? Like, it's like Dairy Girls.
It's like people who want to make a show where you're not bogged down by the fact that everyone's got a mobile phone. is basically that's what you want to do, isn't it? That's the reason to do it. But then, but they've done it a lot, haven't they? Because like in the 90s, they made That 70s Show. So I think they people do often look back about 20 years and go, oh, wasn't it? Basically, all the people who grew up in that era are now the people we want to hit, our target demographic for watching telly.
But when you were a kid, it was very disorientating because you just assumed it was made back then.
Yes, that's right. I thought it was made in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's why when you find out that Ron Howard directed Backdraft, you're like, go, what, that old guy?
How old is he?
That old duffer.
Blueberry Hill?
He must be too old to direct Backdraft. But that's why it was disorientating, because when you're a kid, you didn't quite understand.
No, yeah.
That you're watching a period piece. I'd say. No, all I'm saying is you go on the big names, that's all. I think that's all I'm saying is Steve Jobs will go down as the inventor of the computer, I think, in 200 years time.
And do you think so? I mean, maybe with people like us who don't know who invented anything. But like
so many grave turnings happened during this episode so far.
Yeah.
Just really, what are they doing? People are looking down at us from heaven being like, what the fuck are these guys doing? And they were upset about guitar solo.
When are they going to start playing their guitars? I'm talking
once.
About my friend Tim Berners-Lee, still alive. He's on stage. No one recognised him. Has he made any money out of the internet?
I imagine he's done okay.
It feels like everyone's ran with it. But do you think he's actually...
Wait, let's get this right now, because he didn't invent the internet, did he? He invented the World Wide Web, is that right?
Oh, right.
I think... But I couldn't, with a gun to my head, tell you the distinction between the two. I couldn't tell you what the difference was. What's the difference between the World Wide Web? I know you don't seem to be typing www into email addresses as much as you used to. It feels like that, you know, it feels like you couldn't get anywhere without a www. And now...
See, and that's why he's not
No
rich.
One uses it. This is it.
He used to get a royalty from that.
For every W, yeah, he'd get a penny. He'd get threepence for every time someone went to a website, which, you know, doesn't seem like a lot, but back in the day, it racks up. And he got it all in one pence pieces delivered to his front door every morning.
Well, should we try and get him on as a guest?
Yeah, I mean, would you know who he was once he came on?
And what he's done.
I don't know if we couldn't send him this episode and say, listen, we're big fans of yours. We don't recognise you. We didn't think you did very well in the opening ceremony. And
it was odd, wasn't it? What
it is you did.
It was just a bit odd because there was a big thing going on and then the house came up and everyone was thinking, right, here we go. It's going to be, I don't know, the Queen or some shit.
Talk me through this. I don't remember what you're talking about here.
Are you talking about the whole episode so far?
I mean, yeah, but please don't talk me through that. Just this bit, please.
In the opening ceremony of the 2012 London Olympics.
Right, yes.
When we got to the modern section.
Right.
We went all the way through. We went through, isn't it, IK Brunel?
Yeah, remember that bit, yeah.
We were there. I don't know. I don't think John Logie Baird featured.
Okay.
But when we got to the modern bit, when old Dizzy Rascal was playing and the kids were going to house parties with their mobile phones and all the text was flying around, and it kind of was like, now we're into modern day. It was after the NHS tribute, right? Right,
yeah, yeah.
And then, kind of at the climax of that, there was a little house. And in my head, that's kind of where they were all buzzing around. And then the house lifted up. And there was a dude sat on a chair and on the roof of the house, it said, you're welcome. And that was Tim Berners-Lee sat on the chair. But it was quite disorientating because if it had been the Spice Girls, everyone would have lost their shit. But it wasn't. It was Tim Berners-Lee. And everyone was like, who's that guy? And then it was like, oh, and then once you get there, it's like he invented not the internet, but the World Wide Web. Right. You know, when you're delivering the greatest opening ceremony of all time, you can't have those kind of moments of hesitation.
No, it's true.
I am a big fan of Danny Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Danny Boyle directed the opening ceremony. He was also in Happy Days. Anyway, but all I'm saying is it just felt like, you know, bold to put him in there.
Yeah.
But it did feel like it was a risk that didn't quite pay off. If I'm being brutal.
Mm.
It's why...
Well, I forgot about it. So it clearly didn't stick in the mind.
You can't follow Dizzy Rascal with Tim Berners-Lee.
No, the worst Glastonbury ever.
If you're organising a gig, you just can't.
Guitar solo. Gotta hand that to him, but it wasn't a great headline set. It was just the AOL sound.
Yeah. That's my only experience of Tim Berners-Lee in real life.
Hmm. Got you.
It is like, you kind of should know. It felt like we were being told you should know who this guy is, rather than you do know who this guy is.
Who do you think? How about this? Because this is somebody who does like to put themselves front and centre. Not necessarily the most popular person in the country, but what about James Dyson? His first sort of genius move is calling the product the Dyson, right?
Yeah.
So it's got his name on it. People immediately remember that. Even if they can't remember his first name, they're going to go, well, it's Mr. Dyson who invented the Dyson. You know, and a variety of different... very enticing, very exciting Dyson items. You know, you've got the Hoover, you've got the Airblade, you've got the big fan that's just a circle, it's got no blades in it, that kind of stuff. All of those things are all Dysons, right?
Yeah.
What about him? And he puts himself in the adverts as well, you know? So you see him, do you not think he is going to stand the test of time?
Maybe.
As a British inventor.
It's mad with Dyson because I feel like the main thing he did to get all of his money was inventing like a bagless Hoover.
Yeah.
That feels like if you were to go back in time as you are now and you go like, I wouldn't be able to really do anything. But coming up with like a bagless Hoover feels like that's an open goal, isn't it?
Well, why did no one do it before then?
Exactly. If it was such an open goal. It's like putting wheels on a suitcase. It's like it took us this long to figure out like the easiest little invention.
And I think this is what I think we've been getting to all the way through this episode.
Great.
Is in order to be one of the big inventors,
yeah,
you don't need to stand staring at a blank page and pull something out of nowhere. You need to take something that is already there, give it a really minor shift that will change everything for people, and then suddenly you're the main dude.
Yeah.
Because that's all that you got to do.
That's a really good point, because they called cars horseless carriages, didn't they? The person who invented the car wasn't inventing a brand new thing. They were going, well, what's this thing we use all the time? Well, it's a cart that's being pulled along by a horse. What's the problem with it? Well, the horses get knackered and horses die and all this, you know, like, and it's, you can only go a certain speed because you can only go as fast as a horse can go. Get rid of the horse, put in something else, like an engine.
Drop the T.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Why drop the T?
What do you mean?
From cart to car.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually, yeah.
Like, why does the T go in the rebranding?
Well, because they were pulled by... Torses? Fucking hell.
Sorry, what? It's okay. It's always good to have something to edit out the podcast.
But still keep as the title. Pulled by Torses.
Pulled apart by Torses.
But I think that's the true nature of it is,
okay,
you know, you've got to take what's already there,
yeah,
do one thing
and improve on it,
and then that's the way you'll go. See, Tim Berners-Lee didn't invent the internet, but did invent the World Wide Web.
He saw the internet and thought, yeah, what this needs is putting www at the start of every address, and people said, yeah,
that's what thought.
Nailed it.
This is mad.
Yeah, but then he said, well, type www.google.com into there and then off you go. And they go, well, what about the people who invented Google? No, you don't remember who those, we don't remember those guys' names. You remember my name because I came up with the first bit of it. Yeah. You know, like, I tell you, well, talking of websites, Zuckerberg, he's going to be remembered because he had a film about him. Yeah. That's what you want. If you get a nice film about you, then people are going to remember you. Definitely Zuckerberg. He'll last 200 years.
That's gone mad now, hasn't it? That films about people. Like, it feels like the last...
like they're making them all ago, the time.
They are.
Where's Tim Berners-Lee biopic? That's there we go.
That's what we're exactly. Now.
That's what we're going to write.
Danny Boyle, come on. I know you did him a bit of a favour, but come on. I reckon if Tim Berners-Lee had smashed the opening ceremony, the next Danny Boyle movie would have been a Tim Berners-Lee biopic.
We call it WWW. People think it's a sequel to Oliver Stone's film about George Bush.
Where he becomes a wrestler. He did a movie called W, and then he made WWW about Berners-Lee.
Do you know what? When you Google Tim Berners-Lee, you know the first question that comes up? Why isn't he a billionaire? So I'm not the only one thinking it.
Oh.
I'm not the only one.
What's the answer to that?
He just got big into betting on the horses, it says.
He lost his money on the horses.
lost it all on the horses, yeah. He gave it to the world for free, and I, to be honest, now that's coming back to me. That I think that was part of his appearance in the opening ceremony.
Oh, that's why he said, "You're welcome." I guess you can't be a billionaire and come out and go, "You're welcome."
Well,
I mean, that's how most billionaires behave, actually.
A lot of them try.
I'm welcome.
I'm WW welcome.
I'm Wowie welcome.
I'm Wowie welcome.
I think, or it was something like my gift to you, or I'm trying to remember now. It was something like your. I don't know if it was your welcome. That feels like.
Did he perform the song from Moana? Is that what it happened? What can I say except you're welcome? Got a guitar out.
He just didn't have the vocal chops, bless him. He's a computer scientist. I was like, who's this dad who's giving it a go?
Talking of that song, by the way, Tom, yeah. I wonder if you relate to this as a parent. And you know, I know you're a fan of a viral video. You know, for example, the Chris Farley tribute video. You're a fan of getting distracted by videos on the internet. Have you ever seen Dad meeting The Rock? And he, so this dad meets The Rock and he says, I just want to say to you, I love you in Moana, and I do the Maui song for my daughter every night before she goes, as she's going to sleep. That's what I do, that's how I sort of comfort her at night. And The Rock goes, do you know the rap from it? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, let's do it together. They instead of taking a selfie, they take a video and they do it into the phone of him and The Rock doing the rap. And I watch it and it absolutely terrifies me because I watch it and I think I could see myself getting in that situation, right? You know,
so
you
end up. Yes.
Yeah, you end up going, yeah, I know the rap. And you just start and you go, hey, I could go on and on. I did the national fun. I'm on. The sky, the tree, that was Maui just messing around. Oh, God, I don't know. Actually, sorry, The Rock. And The Rock just goes, why have you wasted my time? I'm the fucking Rock. Do you know what I mean? Like, even if you're doing it every night for your daughter, you might be like, oh, I flub that line a little bit. They don't need to know. You know?
And the pressure.
You don't want to be the dad who says no to The Rock.
Yeah, you've got to say yes.
Do you know my rap?
Oh, yeah,
Because then you're not going to go home to your girls and be like, oh, I met him today, but I didn't do the rap with him.
I didn't do the rap with him because I'm a bit fuzzy on some of the words. It's a bit like when they cut to people in Glastonbury. It makes my stomach drop
It's become a bit of a craze now, hasn't it? That thing of, can I play... It feels like now there's not a concert that goes by where a member of the public isn't playing the drums on one of the songs.
Yeah.
So true.
And it never feels there's kind of an air of, is this planned conspiracy behind them all?
Because you never see the one where the guy patently can't play the drums for My Hero,
yeah,
or whatever. You know, like, where Brandon Flowers gets the guy up on stage and they go, okay, off you go. And he's like, boom, ding, dong, bing, bap, boom, bing, bap. Which is, yeah, like, everybody seems to be.
I want to see that video more.
Yeah, that's what you want to see, yeah, isn't it?
I want everyone to get up for Dave. I feel like, I know the rap. Thiago Silva, play me, I'm good. I'm wearing the Thiago Silva shirt.
Oh, I can go one and another. Look at that phenomenon.
We do what we want to do, say what we want to say, live what we want to live, play. We want to play dance, and we want to dance, kick, and we slap a friend and family. Thiago Silva.
Adam's too legit. I mean, that said, I could do pretty well. I could do pretty well if MC Hammer did it.
If you bumped into MC Hammer, you'd be the one chasing after him. I can do the rap!
Leave me alone, I'm at work.
House meeting.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The thing I was talking about, not even being brought up on stage, is when the camera cuts to a person that's often on someone's shoulders. You know, they're normally very good looking and they've got glitter on their face, and they, for some reason, despite being, it's the third day of Glastonbury, they look like they've had a shower. You know, they look amazing. And they are word perfect on whatever song they happen to be, you know, the camera happens to be on. I always feel like, oh, it would get to me. Because I love to sing at concerts. Do I know the words? Very rarely. Sometimes kind of like, I've often found myself singing along to songs that it's the first time I've heard them is the concert. And I
as
go,
as long
well,
as you know the shape of the sounds.
Exactly,
like,
exactly, yeah.
Off you go.
Yeah. But I would hate to, you know, I do that kind of knowing I'm being protected by the crowd. I'd hate for there to be a camera in my face. I mean, obviously, I never look good at a festival. I don't look good outside of a festival. I've never been camera ready in my entire life.
I do appreciate that you put on so much glitter, though. It's really
good. Bit of razzle dazzle for the podcast.
It has always long been my dream, and I'm sure I've told you this before, but as like an art installation to remove the crowd apart from one person.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you could do it on your laptop these days, courtesy of Steve Jobs. But you can, you know, you just put one, you know, you have one person in the middle of a gig, you highlight them, you delete all the rest of the crowd, and then you watch the gig and just see what they're up to.
Yeah.
Same with the nightclub.
I used to think that as well. When you're dancing at a nightclub and you're really going for it, you know, you're a bit hammered, and what would you look like in a stark white room?
Yeah, and a riot. There's like that's my exhibition. I think it's people.
It's got something of
own.
The sort of Gillian Waring about it, hasn't it? You know those that thing where she would go and put herself
Gillian
in
Louis
a shopping.
Waring.
Gillian Lewis, yeah. She put herself in a shopping centre sort of dancing as if she was like at a nightclub, and she'd film it. But this is, you do this authentically, with permission of the crowd, you'd film the crowd, yeah. And then afterwards you'd get the, You'd have to get them to sign a release form, otherwise it's...
Yeah, okay.
Are you going to blur their faces out?
No, but I think it'd be quite a long, quite a distant shot anyway.
But if you've isolated
them... I just don't fancy
them.
Going up to the person in the riot and going, can you sign this release form?
Yeah, I'll hold your brick.
I'm actually a sort of conceptual artist, and I wonder if I could chat to you about exactly why you're rioting today.
But yeah, I feel like that. Yeah, sports crowd riot, nightclub, festival, and is that it? Oh, Jewish wedding.
Jewish wedding.
They're going to be probably. They're going
to
orgy.
What about orgy?
Main exhibitions.
Like one person in an orgy?
I feel like if orgy's in there, it's going to dominate the news. It's going to be like a guy.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
Films orgy, didn't get permission.
Yeah. Man in jail.
Sorry. I know you're leaving. I can I just say I was filming that orgy, and I've got an exhibition. It's in the Phoenix Arts Centre in Exeter. You've probably heard of it. Anyway, do you mind just signing here, please? yeah, I don't know. Horse racing? Do it down the tracks? I don't know. Anyway, that's there's an exhibition in it, basically.
It certainly
but
is.
I don't think there's a lot. There's not a life's work in it. But
no,
an exhibition.
It's a one-off type thing, isn't it? What are you calling it though? That's the question, because these things sort of live and die on the title. What? Because like the title's got to explain the. Because what's the thought behind it? What's the point you're getting across?
It's called Seen and Not Heard, but I'm spelling seen like a scene and heard like the herd.
Ooh, oh, yes, hello. Indeed.
Or I could just call it Seen and Heard. And it's Seen.
No, I think Seen and Not Heard is exactly
seen
right.
Seen and Not Heard.
That's so really good.
It's like film Seen and the Heard.
Yeah. I think you should do it. I think, because the thing about being an artist is you can just start at any point.
It's my third chapter. I'm not rushing into it, but
sure.
The third chapter as a conceptual artist, you know.
It's on its way.
Probably my 50s.
I think you've got to pounce now, because nightclubs, festivals, what you don't want to be seen, you don't want to be seen as the sort of the great voyeur of the art world. You want to be seen as a man cataloguing his own existence. And that is your existence currently, isn't it? The music festival, the nightclub, the riot. That's a good weekend for you.
I've got to kind of capture it now.
You've got to capture
still,
it now, yeah.
While you're still doing it.
While it's fresh. You don't want it to be, because I think it has to. You have to be the voice of your generation, as opposed to a guy looking misty-eyed back at the life.
The great voyeur of the art world has a ring to it.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, the great voyeur of the art world.
I mean, if you go back to the opening ceremony, you know the way it would work. The way I'd be in there, there'd be the house. The house would lift up. Tim Berners-Lee would be there. I'd be there peeking through the window. Who's that guy? The people would be like, you. There's an old guy in a chair, and then, oh, look, oh, it's the great voyeur of the art world. There he is.
The Spice Girls. Who the fuck is this?
The artist name, my artist name would be Peeping Tom.
Yes!
Peeping Tom Parry, the great voyeur of the art world.
Peeping Tom Parry, the great voyeur of the art world, presents Seen and Not Heard.
Yeah.
Tom, if you don't do this, you are committing the greatest art crime of the century. You are robbing the nation of one of the great art pieces they could have, you know.
Because if I can get that reputation quickly, or if I just go by that title immediately, then people are going to sign the release forms, aren't they?
We've said it here on this podcast. All it takes is for someone to use this podcast as a reference and to put it on your Wikipedia. He has been described as the great voyeur of the art world. And just the reference is this pod. You know, it's as long as someone out there in the published world has said it, which we have, and it wasn't even you who said it this time. It was me. I'm happy to go on record on Wikipedia as describing you as the great. I'll stick a tweet out as well about it, so it's got a bit of. I consider Tom Parry to be the great voyeur of the art world. I'll pop that out on Threads.
When he turned 50, his best work unfurled. We called him the biggest voyeur of the art world. I'm talking about my peeping Tom Parry. Oh, can hear it now.
Well, you sang it.
Well, I'd be peeping at the coffin.
This is a project, everyone.
I'm alive.
It's a project. Could someone get me out, please?
I didn't think this project through. I'm in a crematorium.
Why is it so hard?
It's a project. It can't become your catchphrase either, because it's like you're caught behind some bins watching a couple get off with each other after a nightclub and, you know, Officer Charlie, like, touches your shoulder and says, what are you up to? And you're like, oh, it's a project. I'm peeping Tom.
Yeah, maybe you don't have your name as Peeping Tom. I mean,
it's not great, is it?
No. But I think the great voyeur of the art world is, you don't have to actually then become a guy who hides in the bushes and looks at couples getting off.
I think that's crucial.
I think the problem, Tom, is don't believe your own hype too much. I think the project of you filming a football,
But what about my exhibition? What about my second exhibition? Been watching you.
Oh, wait, where you been watching?
The great voyeur of the artwork hid in a series of different bins, and this is what he saw. It's prison, but from the view of bins, and it's called Been Watching You, Been Wheelie, Been Watching You. And like every exhibition, it's a different type of bin. It's like chemical waste.
I like the idea that someone's walking around your exhibition and they finish their coffee and they chuck it away and they just hear, oh, bloody hell.
Oh, that's a project.
That's scalding hot, mate. Yeah.
And in the same way that Banksy has taken graffiti and elevated it so that people love it and celebrate it,
yeah,
that's the way I will. Yeah. I'll do that with people being spied on when they don't want to be. Like, oh God, are you watching me? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, great. Have you just drawn on my wall? Oh, you're a Banksy.
That's the prankster's art, isn't it? If you crush somebody's car, they get absolutely livid. Whereas if you come out and you go, actually, don't worry, I'm Jeremy Beadle, they go, oh, Beadle, Edmonds, Ashton Kutcher, you know, all of these guys.
They walked so I could run.
Exactly.
Like a great inventor standing on the shoulders of giants.
Anton Deck.
An artist.
Once they... Gordon Ramsay, when he used to wear the weird sort of rubber faces and do pranks.
I think he's still got that on, doesn't he?
Part of the bin exhibition, you could guess what type of bin it is as well. So it's like you've got the picture,
yeah,
and then next to it's like a little curtain with a drawstring, and you pull the drawstring, and then you see a picture of the bin, so you can guess what type of bin it was I was in, or the camera was in. So it's like, you know, a food caddy.
How are you fitting in a food caddy?
This is part of my art. I build.
Why is that food caddy 6'2"? How much composting are they doing in this household?
Why does it stink really bad?
Obviously, I'd get permission retrospectively, but I'd be breaking into people's houses at midnight, like rebuilding their kitchen surface where I'm built into it, so that my head can be within a food caddy.
So when they pull out the drawer that's also the recycling bin, and your face is there in amongst the plastics. Where you wheelie bin?
can you sign this release form, please?
I get the feeling I will be shredding at your funeral earlier than you realise.
Well, paper shredding. That was his last mistake.
just going to hop into the... Oh, ow, what?
Yeah, way to go. What a way to go.
He died as he lived.
Hiding in people's bins.
Hiding in people's bins. The trash compactor was a bridge too far.
Yeah, well, that's two exhibitions in already.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've got to do it, man. Honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to do it.
It's chapter three, man. Conceptual art. Have you got your chapter three lined up, you two?
Oh, it's a good question. No. What could my chapter...
I'm going to be a bin man. So similar.
Collaborate. Collaborate yeah. with me.
You know the guy who hides in bins? Meet the man who nicks the bins for him.
Bin Robin.
Bin Man and Robin.
Bin Man and Robin was my first ever. That was my primary school assembly. And I played Robin to Bin Man. And I think that's where I first got the taste for bins. It's going to be my bin origin story.
The first time I got the I really got a hankering for bin juice after that. And I've never looked back.
If you look in the mirror and say bin juice three times, I will hide in your bins.
If you look into your Brabantia and say bin juice three times, Parry pops out and takes your photograph with a Polaroid.
You can hire me for weddings. There's that bag of props in the corner and a big bin. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's bin juice gone. He used to be a conceptual artist, but he's fallen off. It's his fourth chapter. He's a wedding photographer now. From a bin. It's odd. Chapter four. He got to it quite quickly as well. Chapter three really didn't last very long. It turns
chapter
out.
Three closed after 2 days. Well, it's technically chapter five. Chapter four was prison. But he likes to sweep that chapter. He likes to sweep it into the bin.
No bins in prison.
Famously, no bins in prison. That's the real right you get taken away, isn't it? Oh, you'll never throw away any waste paper now, boy. That's the last time you knock off a bank. You ain't throw. Honestly, the satisfaction of scrunching up a bit of paper and throwing it across the room, gone for you for 6 to 12 months.
There was a time where that game, the throwing the paper into the waste paper bin.
Yeah.
Was like, that was right at the forefront of like mobile games.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was our Sonic the Hedgehog in many ways, wasn't it?
Yeah. Do you know who invented that?
No.
Steve Jobs.
Not Robert Louis Stevenson. House meeting.
I live in a house made of iron sheeting.
House meeting.
And we're out. Lovely.
We are out.
We've extracted ourselves from your ear canal.
We have indeed. I've got a little. I've got an email I wanted to read out.
Lovely. Okay.
Now,
does it pertain to our podcast, or is it just something you received?
Yeah, it is a message from. It is actually not even a. It's not even a message from a listener. It's a message from a guest.
Oh. What?
Now this is wild. So we finished recording our last episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. And about half an hour later, I received an email from Mike Fenton Stevens it purely started with, I know an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. It made her cry. And then he does every single verse. Wow. So he typed the whole thing out, every single verse. And
can we do it?
We can do it if you like.
I want you to... Can you try and give us the full reading?
I'll do a full reading. I'm happy to do it. Okay, here we go. Great. I know an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. It made her cry. I know an old lady who swallowed a spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. It made her cry. I know an old lady that swallowed a bird. How absurd to swallow a bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. It made her cry. I know an old lady that swallowed a cat. Fancy that, to swallow a cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. It made her cry. I know an old lady that swallowed a dog. What a hog to swallow a dog. She swallowed the dog to catch the cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. It made her cry. I know an old lady that swallowed a goat. She just opened her throat and swallowed a goat. She swallowed the goat to catch the dog. She swallowed the dog to catch the cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. It made her cry. There was an old lady that swallowed a cow. I don't know how she swallowed a cow. She swallowed the cow to catch the goat. She swallowed the goat to catch the dog. She swallowed the dog to catch the cat. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. It made her cry. I know an old lady that swallowed a lion. She's no longer crying.
Beautiful.
So after he finished recording with us, he sat down and typed that all out. Amazing.
The main man. What a guy. And beautifully read, Crosby.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm gonna clip that up as an audiobook for my kids.
Can you take one note?
Their master's voice. Yes, I'll take a note.
Could have done with a guitar solo.
I think if I was going to... My two complaints were that no guitar solo from me and no mention of the torse. Surely she must have swallowed the torse at some stage.
Of torse.
Yeah, she's dead of torse. But yeah, love that. Thanks to Mike. And if you haven't heard the episode already, you must hear it. It's an absolute classic. He's brilliant.
One of the great Beef Brothers.
Yeah, he was wonderful. We loved having him on, and his podcast, My Time Capsule, is full of superb stories, just like the ones he told on our pod. So get that if you can. Right, what else needs to be said other than can you do a hit it to end the pod?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, listen here. Today's episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
So take that look off your face, get the feeling right, and hit off.
Oh God!
Tricky.
It is tricky. I gave you a tricky. All I had to do was read something out. I gave you a really tricky task there.
Luckily, I nailed it.
Yeah, smashed it, perfect. Mate. Well, I guess. Cheers, everyone.
Hit on.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.